Good morning. It is the 22nd of April, 2024, in Eastertide. I want to make something abundantly clear when we're talking about this story today. This is not about Mission Divine Mercy. There are two religious groups, we'll say, in Texas that are gaining a lot of attention from Catholics right now. Mission Divine Mercy is, I think, the latest. In fact, the attention they've gotten has sort of overcome the attention that was being given to the treatment of the Carmelite nuns in Arlington, Texas. You'll recall that Bishop Olson and the nuns in Arlington had come to a sort of dispute. The Mother Superior there is not exactly in the best of health right now. She has been on some, getting some treatment, that medical treatment that some Catholics would find probably questionable, a medical use of certain kinds of plants, we'll say. At least that's what's alleged. I've never seen actual proof of that. That's the allegation. And the bishop was using questionable at best methods for interrogating her and interrogating others, things that would never have stood up in court. I've actually read on this channel to people before, read the testimony of legal experts who looked at this case as what's going on and were appalled at the things the bishop was doing. That in no fair system would the activities of Bishop Olson have been permitted. Any testimony brought into a court of law based on the things the mother said while she was under actual medical treatment and recovering from medical treatment while being grilled by the bishop would never have stood. But they were good enough for him. And I'm going to remind you of the kind of bishop we're talking about here before we go into this, because at the end of the day, dedicated to the truth, and I know my coverage of the story has cost me some connections I've had to people who assure us that this bishop is good, and I'm going to now address that by reminding you of this story. Headline from Crux, we have to be careful how we talk about this, but Texas bishops tell parishes to cut ties with a pro-reality, pro-law of God group. This is in 2018. It's an old story. People may have forgotten about this. You may remember back in 2018, there was a group of this kind here, stridently against the Moloch ritual, who were getting involved in the political things going on in Texas at the time. This is, again, 2018. Bishop Olson was one of the bishops who told them to stop engaging in politics, basically, which is just astonishing. It really is, because it's that realm, unfortunately, that these groups have to work in to do their much needed work. So we're going to go here before we go into this. This is context, important context for the kind of bishop we're talking about. Bishops in Texas have told parishes in the state not to participate in the activities of one of the state's largest anti-Moloch organizations. The Texas Catholic Conference of Bishops issued a statement on February 22nd stating that this Texas group has, quote, implied that the bishops do not faithfully represent church teaching and parishes should not host the organization. Let's pause here. There's nothing wrong with what that Texas group has said. It's true. The Texas bishops, at least many of them at the time, did not uphold what the faith teaches. They simply didn't, as is the case with a lot of bishops in the United States who give you the seamless garment nonsense, who put that issue on the same level of importance as, say, unemployment or recycling your cans or something. It's grotesque what they have done. And Bishop Olson is one who has done that. He was part of this. In fact, here's what Bishop Olson said, as he is quoted in this article back in 2018. Quote, "As a bishop, I have a responsibility to teach and to govern and to sanctify. When an organization says that my brother bishops and I are not teaching the authentic magisterium of the church on matters of life, when they say that and it causes dissension and harm, I have an obligation to speak to that by speaking the truth on these matters," Bishop Michael Olson of Fort Worth told the magazine. He ordered the bishop's conference statement be announced from every pulpit in his diocese and be available in the parish bulletin and on the parish website. The Texas Catholic Conference statement said part of the dispute is rooted in that Texas anti-Moloch group's rejection of incremental reforms on the issue, which improves the current situation, but does not reform the status quo as much as we might desire. In other words, the great offense that this organization had was that they wanted stronger reforms. not tiny little steps here and there, while the great evil continued to be committed in that state. Again, 2018, that state led the way immediately by making sure the Moloch ritual was not an option in their state after the status quo changed because of Washington a few years ago. But that's what we're talking about. That's who the bishop is involved in this story. It's important context because some people, for whatever reason, want to think that he's probably in the right when I'm going to tell you probably he isn't. So go to National Catholic Register for this headline. Vatican: nuns who feuded with Texas bishop will be governed by monastery association. The Holy See ordered the nuns to withdraw and rescind your declaration challenging the bishop's authority. Remember, Bishop Olson went after them. Became pretty clear when he looked at the where their property sits that the property rights were heavily involved in this, that this is an attempt to crush these nuns. And the Vatican has sided with the bishop. They issued a statement, unfortunately, I can only find a photograph of in Italian, so I can't give you a translation of it, but the this report will give us the meat of it. So a Carmelite monastery that is engaged in a year-long feud with Diocese of Fort Worth Bishop Michael Olson will be governed by a religious association of monasteries going forward, but must normalize relations with the bishop per a Vatican report. This association in the United States of America will oversee the government, discipline, studies, goods, rights, and privileges of the Arlington-based Monastery of the Most Holy Trinity. This decision ends the bishop's role as a pontifical commissary, which has previously given him governing authority over the monastery. It is my prayer that the Arlington Carmel will now have the internal leadership needed to save the monastery and enable it to flourish once again in unity with the Catholic Church, Bishop Olson said in a statement. And I have his full statement here. A feud between the monastery and the bishop began a year ago in April when the bishop launched an investigation into Mother Superior Teresa Agnes Gerlach. She was ultimately dismissed from religious life for alleged misconduct involving the flesh, which was never proven, with a priest over the phone and through video chats. Things that, as an aside, these are things that she, quote, admitted to when she was in no legal capacity to admit such things because her mind was clouded with the effects of the medical treatments she had been given. Again, those admissions in a court of law would never have been upheld because she was not competent to give testimony due to the effects of a legitimate procedure she had been undergoing and the things that go with the legitimate procedure. The monastery filed a civil lawsuit against the bishop and the diocese for conduct related to the investigation, which was eventually dismissed by a judge. The judge dismissed it because this was an internal church matter. He didn't feel competent to do this, as opposed to that story about the French nun that I have been covering for you. The relationship between the state and the Catholic Church in France is much different than it is here in the United States. The bishop imposed harsh penalties on the monastery, which led to the nuns issuing a statement that appeared to reject his authority in governing the monastery. So now they claim to have a link to the Vatican's letter. I missed it earlier. Oh, there's an English one. So we'll just go to the Vatican letter. Go to directly to the source. Because the one that I had was Italian. But here's the Vatican's letter. We'll make sure to zoom in here a little bit so you all can follow along. This is from the Vatican, dated the 18th. Dearest Sisters of the Carmelite Monastery of the Most Holy Trinity, on January 8, 2024, the terms of office of the prioress, sub-prioress, and counselors of the Arlington Carmel expired. According to your constitutions, citations, the local ordinary is a competent authority to preside over the monastery's elections, but to date, Bishop Olson has neither been contacted nor been requested that he come officiate over their triennial elections. Complicating matters is the fact that on August 18, 2023, you issued a public declaration rejecting the authority of the Bishop of Fort Worth and explicitly prohibited his access to monastery grounds and buildings. The Dicastery draws to your attention that the juridical autonomy of a monastery sui juris needs to be matched by a genuine autonomy of life, with citation to a Vatican document. Such autonomy requires, among other things, quote, a real capacity for governance. Thus, this curial office finds that in the present instance, the Carmel's, quote, genuine autonomy is lacking due to a total absence of lawful governance. Yet, despite the sad state of affairs, this dicastery is fully convinced that every effort should be made to preserve the spiritual health and longevity of the Arlington Carmelite Monastery community. And then they go into them being put under to a larger Carmelite association here, which is the classic way the Vatican uses for doing things. In fact, this goes back to a document called Cor Orens, which was issued sometime in the last decade, that fundamentally restructured how religious life is governed in the church. Religious are now under sort of like confederations of like-minded quote-unquote groups. So Carmelites get governed all together. Dominicans that all get governed together. Benedictines all get governed together. Even if they're very fundamentally different groups, let's use Franciscans as an example. There are Franciscan religious who you would never know they were religious given their way they were dressed, unless they're traveling in groups, then you kind of notice they're all basically dressed the same in some sort of weird version of modern garb. While others are the classic Franciscans who don't even wear shoes and wear, you know, the tattered habits of their founder, who are dedicated to their charism of living in austere poverty. And they're all supposed to be governed together. You get Carmelites who are traditionalists, dedicated to the traditional Carmelite liturgy. Yes, there's a variant on the traditional Latin Mass, unique to the Carmelites, and this thing goes back many centuries. They are dedicated to the traditional liturgy, traditional form of the sacraments, traditional Carmelite charisms, including the Carmelite charism of being contemplatives, dedicated to prayer, as well as the works that are required of all religious. And then there are Carmelites who are definitely not that. They read the influence of their founder and their guiding documents in a very different, more post-conciliar kind of way. And these are all governed together under one group. That's kind of how it works. This is an oversimplification, but you get the idea. This is a mechanism for controlling traditional and traditional-leaning religious orders. And I hate dividing things that way, but having experienced personally in life traditional Benedictines, conservative Benedictines, and definitely not so conservative Benedictines, there are differences on how these things run. So here's what the Vatican's doing to them. Besides that, thus to restore order and proper ecclesiastical governance, you are hereby notified that as of April 18th, this dicastery entrusted the Arlington Carmel to their overall association. With this entrustment, the president of that group is recognized as the lawful major superior of the monastery, and together with her council, she is to exercise full governance over the Carmelite nuns and monastery of the Most Holy Trinity. In other words, they have had their autonomy taken from them, officially. Now, this is the mechanism used to control nuns all over the world. This is not merely what happened with this group. This has happened many, many times. In fact, I have from the nuns an email with a brief statement that has a huge list of links to various stories of other religious orders that have been crushed out of existence using this mechanism. I will probably go over that tomorrow in a live stream, or maybe this weekend in a video. I don't know. Well, depends on the news of the day, but that's coming later in the week. An outline of how this mechanism was used to crush traditional religious. Here's the statement, the response from the Arlington Carmel, dated the 20th of April, Saturday. Praised be Jesus Christ now and forever. In the past year, since April 23rd, our monastery has suffered continued attack and abuse from Michael Olson, the current bishop of Fort Worth, in an ugly attempt to seize control of our governance, finances, and life, including an unannounced interrogation of our mother prioress while she was in a medically unfit state. The publication of a recording of the said interrogation, which as medical evidence clearly shows, is of no legal value whatsoever, civilly or ecclesiastically. The community affirms its complete confidence in the moral integrity of our mother prioress. The illegal seizure of the personal property of the monastery and the copying of private information from said property, obtaining the status of pontifical commissary, effectively putting the fox in charge of the hen house, the attempt to cut the monastery off from the sacraments by forbidding the celebration of Mass and the other sacraments, untold attempted interference in the daily goings-on of the monastery, and of attempting to influence the Carmelite auxiliary and its supporters, as well as several attempts to bully individual nuns and to divide and conquer the community. In good faith and in spirit of trust, we appealed to the Holy See in Rome following the advice we were given at the time. On April 18th, 2024, without informing us, Bishop Olson published documents from Rome concerning us on the diocesan website. We received photocopies of two of these documents only from the diocese later in the day. The substance of these documents is to, quote, entrust our monastery, its nuns, its daily life, and its material goods to an overarching association of Carmelite nuns with immediate effect. In respect of these documents, we wish to state, We are thankful that the Holy See believes that, quote, every effort should be made to preserve the spiritual health and longevity of the Arlington Carmelite monastic community. We do, however, think that, quote, every effort could and should include active and ongoing dialogue with ourselves, and we are surprised and disappointed that these documents have been published without any such dialogue. Additionally, we continue to wait for the responses to the recourses we sent to Rome last year against the illegal action of the bishop, as promised by the secretary of the dicastery in a letter to us received in early February. The letters dated April 18th sent by the dicastery are perplexing, since the responses to our recourses have yet to be received and are not normally preempted. We are grateful that, albeit implicitly, these documents reject a number of the abusive acts of Bishop Olson towards us, for we note that he accepts that he is no longer a pontifical commissary in respect of our monastery. If Rome wishes to save face and to sweep the issue of the abuse of the bishop under the carpet and move on regardless, this is unacceptable. In justice, the issue of Bishop Olson must be dealt with for our good and for the good of the Diocese of Fort Worth as a whole. The request of the Carmelite Association This is a core issue here. That is something that has been told to me from a nun. One of the nuns here, she emailed me. And this is a good time for me to put this in here. That's why I'm interrupting it. They say that, quote, they also sent us a long list of, One of the nuns said to this in response to all this, as a bit of an added detail that's not on this website, nothing at all is being mentioned about the issue of Bishop Olson's abuse of power, harsh interrogation of an ill person, threatening the entire community, deprivation of the sacraments, public defamation, attempt to take over the monastery, and a backdoor land grab. The issue of Bishop Olson being the problem, not the Carmelite nuns. And that's absolutely 100% true. There is never in these documents you see here from the Vatican anything having to do with the same bishop who told faithful Texans to stop working essentially for the for an end to the Moloch issue, that they were just, you should just go piecemeal and slowly do it, and while the great evil continued on in that state. The same bishop who gives you a seamless garment view of Catholicism. Anyway, they continue talking about the takeover of the governors of the monastery, made with the council and full support of Bishop Olson, which Rome has accepted without our knowledge or consent, is in effect a hostile takeover that we cannot in conscience accept. To accept this would risk the integrity of our monastery as a community, threatening the vocations of individual nuns, our liturgical and spiritual life, and the material assets of the monastery. This outside authority could easily disperse us, impose its agenda in respect of our daily observance, and dispose of our assets, even of the monastery itself, as it wishes, contrary to our vows and to the intentions of those who founded our community and our benefactors. Now, let me go pause again here. There are so many examples of that happening, where religious orders that were a little too traditional for anybody's taste were put under the governance of the larger association, in this case, the Carmelite Association, but there were other ones. You know, Dominicans have one. All of these have one, where what ended up happening is the ones who were just a little too traditional, their community of nuns or brothers, whatever it is, were dispersed to other communities. Their lands were taken by the diocese or the Vatican and sold off. So many cases of that, that I should do a separate video on this, and I'll give you a quick glance here in a minute of just how many cases there are of this, that this is why we need to be wary, because it didn't take long at all to figure out that the property value there of that monastery in Arlington is worth millions upon millions of dollars because of its location. Prime grade A real estate. So the technical problem of the expiration of terms of office last January that Rome uses as the motivation for their solution can be solved in any number of other ways, including by Rome's extension of such terms of office for a suitable period while the issues at hand are addressed equitably. It is our understanding that while matters are under appeal, nothing is to be changed and the status quo is to be preserved. We hope and pray that Rome will engage in dialogue with us directly to find a suitable way of moving forward that respects the integrity of our life and monastery. We take this opportunity to state before Almighty God and before all that in conscience we believe that it is our duty in the current circumstances faithfully to persevere according to our vows in our life and vocation of prayer and penance in the Carmelite tradition. To do anything less would be to dishonor our founders and the great saints of our order. We note that every U.S. citizen is entitled to justice according to the law. Religious profession does not cancel that right. Episcopal consecration does not give the one consecrated the power to violate it. Last year, we ceased our civil action so that the Holy See could proceed with their own processes. Once we receive the responses to the recourses, we will instruct our civil lawyers to review the option of the further vindication and protection of our civil rights. Even amidst the dark shadows of the cross that have been cast over our monastery over the past year, a light has shone, giving us hope and strength, the radiant light of our further and deeper immersion in the riches of the Jussas Antiquae, the traditional Mass and Divine Office. This is something which we as a community have desired for many, many years now, and which we had begun to explore some time ago, but that in the end the bishop opposed. In living these beautiful rites, meaning Bishop Olson predictably opposed them becoming more and more traditional and fully embracing the traditional Mass and the traditional Divine Office, again, predictably. In living these beautiful rites, each day our monastery has found new life and grace. We're committed to drawing from their treasures ever more deeply in the future, for as Pope Benedict XVI taught, what earlier generations held as sacred remains sacred and great for us too, and it cannot be all of a sudden entirely forbidden or even considered harmful. The discovery of the beauty and depths of this truth is a joy to which we look forward daily, of which young women wishing to enter the monastery in the future may be assured. We repeat that we accept without reserve that the Holy Father, Pope Francis, is the Pope and enjoys full papal authority. Similarly, we recognize that Michael Olson is the legitimate current Bishop of Fort Worth with all the authority that his office confers. However, to clarify any confusion in respect of our statement of August 18, 2023, in line with our own rights, for reasons of conscience, for the good of our souls, and to protect the integrity of our life and vocations in these extraordinary circumstances, there's your key canon law term there, we have had to withdraw our cooperation in respect of the unjust exercise of any authority over us by the current Bishop of Fort Worth. Let it be said clearly, to borrow a phrase, that authority without integrity is no authority at all. Anyone who knows the workings of our diocese will understand the reality we face only too well. Nevertheless, we remain open to any initiative from higher authority that seeks to repair the damage that has been done to us and that respects the integrity of our life, vocation, and monastic community. We are not things to be traded or given away in backroom deals, but women vowed to the exclusive love and service of Almighty God, whose integrity is to be respected and protected for the good of their souls and for the good of the Church. We are perfectly willing, as should be any monastery, to welcome in a spirit of humility, visitators whose integrity and partiality we recognize and accept, to receive their fraternal advice with respectful docility, and to consider their recommendations before God. We are not willing to accept visitators who themselves lack humility and docility before the reality of the integrity of our own religious life, and who arrive with a predetermined agenda has been seen too often in recent years. And let's pause here. It was widely reported when the apostolic visitators showed up in Tyler, Texas, that they were openly talking about who they thought the next bishop of Tyler would be. And that they were asking everybody leading questions in their investigation because they had already determined the outcome of what that apostolic visitation was going to be. They were just there to collect the evidence for their predetermined outcome. This is what they're talking about here. Such an apostolic visitation lacks integrity. It's unjust. An apostolic visitation should not be the kind of thing that puts the fear of God into religious organizations. It shouldn't be the case. You and I should not be afraid the next time the FSSP or the Institute of Christ, it gets their visitation. Okay. This, I can barely talk right now because this stuff is such an evil use of their authority. Apostolic visitation should be used explicitly to visit the FSSP, ICKSP, whoever, or religious orders to bring to them an outside take on issues that they're dealing with on how to resolve them without being fear that they're going to just destroy whatever organization they're visiting. But that has not been the case here for a while. So I'm going to show you this before we come back to this letter. I'm not showing you the email because the email itself, I mean, it's a text of the email, because I don't want to give away the identity of the person who did this. But look at all this. That's a lot of examples of what has happened. A lot of them from the Remnant Crisis magazine, who is more moderate than most of than I am. They document this stuff too. Again, they say here that they found out about the postings. All the letters I've been reading you, other than their response, from the diocesan website. They weren't told. Normally with this kind of thing, the just thing to do is to tell the group first before you go public. Instead, they went public, then told the group. That seems to be a problem afflicting our age. We've heard about this in the secular realm a lot. This is happening more and more in the church, that bishops no longer have their jobs. They hear first in the media before they're ever told. And they say that they're still waiting for rulings from Rome in response to their inquiry that they gave to Rome, because they pursued things the way you should in the church. They went to church authorities. And they've heard nothing yet. And it's been almost a year. But yes, the tactic of using a visitator to replace existing leadership, and then with that ends up compromising the very existence of the cloister groups, several of these. And I'm sure these aren't the only ones. These are just things that they could put together off the top of their head. It's so infuriating reading this stuff. They then take the opportunity to thank all their families, friends, auxiliaries, and benefactors who have supported us with their prayers. They're very generous, you know, the donations and other means of support over the past year. Your understanding of the realities of our difficult situation and your ongoing personal and practical support are precious gifts, which we carry with us in the choir at Mass and the Divine Office with thanksgiving, praying that Almighty God will reward you and yours richly for all the good that you do for his Carmelite nuns. We rely on your support and thank you for continuing to give it so generously. We pray that the Bishop of Fort Worth will repent of the things he's doing. I think you get the idea here. They end this basically, they say that they have a right to resist someone who does these kind of things. And they take Francis at his word when he invited consecrated women in 2022 to fight when, in some cases, they are treated unfairly, even within the church, at times by men of the church. That's a nice way to end that. That's a very nice way to end that, because Francis gave them verbal permission in his video message of the 1st of February, 2022, to resist what's going on now. This isn't something he said like 10 years ago. This is something he said 18 months before all this started happening. All right, folks, I'm going to check the comments here. Cathcaro says a slow, controlled demolition of Holy Mother Church will fail. That's exactly right. But that's what's we're going on here. Again, this is something that's coming up in a video I'm working on now for later in the week about vocations. Right, a priest contacted me through Patreon, telling me that the term that you sometimes see is managed decline, and that's exactly what we're seeing here in the church. Except the one thing that doesn't work for this is a relatively healthy community of Carmelites. The more traditional the religious orders tend to be, the healthier they are. I wonder why that is. There's nothing about managed decline here. This is an outright attempt to just crush them. Okay, so I'm going to give now Philip says Rupnik treats women in the church well, huh? Yeah, right. Funny how he is still has access to influence in Rome and be able to continue his work. All right, so I'm going to end this today with just a brief update on the Give, Send, Go that the viewer started for me. You've heard the story by now, probably. We're at 95%. I'm very happy this is nearly done. But I'll put a link there in the live chat, and I'll be doing one in here in the comments shortly. Thanks to those of you who have donated. It is greatly appreciated. If you did donate, email me a picture, like a screenshot of like the receipt with all private stuff deleted or whatever, and I'll add you to my personal my patron early access list and things, and you'll get access to the Discord and all that stuff too. Anyway, I'm hoping we're about to be done. Dragon's Bane, that's actually not true. There's no evidence that she actually did that. Please don't sully her on my channel. Anyway, thanks very much for tuning in, folks, and as always I say, pray for the church. Anthony Stein, Ave Maria.